This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to Talk Louisiana, originating from the Investar Bank Tower in Baton Rouge. Robin Dow producing, and your number is 877-217-5757. Emails to talk at talklouisiana.org. Quite a weekend. Both the Picayune and Advocate and New York Times have the same headline today, Biden bows out. President Joe Biden dropped out of the 2024 race for the White House, ending his bid for re-election after a disastrous debate with Donald Trump that raised doubts about the incumbent's fitness for office. That's the way the Associated Press puts it. And now the Democrats will go to Chicago in a few weeks, and we'll see who gets the nomination. The momentum appears to be in the direction of the vice president, Kamala Harris. It's the first time since 1968 that a person who did not enter the primaries is going to be the nominee of a party. And 56 years ago in Chicago, same place, same party, the Democrats nominated Hubert Horatio Humphrey, class of 1940 LSU. He became the standard bearer for the Democratic Party in 68, ran a close race, but lost to Richard Nixon. And if it is Harris or another Democrat, it probably shapes up as a close race in 2024 with Donald Trump. Speaker Mike Johnson, Pride of Benton, Louisiana, released the following statement. At this unprecedented juncture in American history, we must be clear about what just happened. The Democrat Party, he says, that should be Democratic, forced the Democrat nominee off the ballot just over 100 days before the election. Having invalidated the votes of more than 14 million Americans who selected Joe Biden to be the Democrat nominee, not Democratic, writes Mr. Johnson, the self-proclaimed party of democracy has proven exactly the opposite. The party's prospects are no better now with Vice President Kamala Harris, who co-owns the disastrous policy failures of the Biden administration, is second in command and a completely inept border czar. Harris has been a gleeful accomplice, writes Johnson, not only in the destruction of American sovereignty, security, and prosperity, but also in the largest political cover-up in U.S. history. She's known for as long as anyone of his incapacity to serve. Regardless of the chaos in the current White House, continues Mike Johnson, the speaker, our adversaries around the globe should be reminded that the U.S. Congress, the U.S. military, the American people are fully prepared and committed to defend our interests both at home and abroad. If Joe Biden is not fit to run for president, he is not fit to serve as president. He must resign the office immediately. November 5 cannot arrive soon enough. Mike Johnson. With us to talk about it, Gary Forster, longtime state representative. He was elected in New Orleans as a conservative Republican a few times. He switched parties in 1984. That was a year that Walter Mondale was the standard bearer for the Democrats, and he and Quentin Dastugue and a few others became Republicans. But Gary was elected to the House in 83, 87, 91, 95, then became Mike Foster's labor secretary. He's with us, and he is now a staunch conservative Republican. And on the other side is the last liberal lion, and I use that term. Foster Campbell would not be a liberal in California, but by Louisiana standards, he probably is. And he was in the Louisiana Senate, from 1976 to 2002, and has been a member of the Public Service Commission ever since. So that's 1976 to the present. According to my math, he's been in office consecutively for 48 consecutive years. Foster Campbell, let's start with you. Your party, where is it right now with the election 107 days away?
Well, we're here. And what I'm for, and I hope, and I'll follow Obama. I think he's right. And Nancy Pelosi, they want to have a convention. And let's see who's the best guy. I'm not just for I think Ms. Harris is a nice lady, and she's probably really capable, but I would like to see us compete. We've got some other candidates out there. I think they should have a turn, too. Let's come up with the best candidate we can to win, and I think we have some candidates that can win. I'm not saying she can't win. She can win, but I'm just saying I am not for anointing someone just because Biden gets out and he's for her. I am for a competition among the people who want to run for president. I think that would be the proper way to do it. They can do that. I've done it before. Let's get together and let's see who wins rather than just anointing somebody.
Gary Forster, how do you see it?
Well, good morning, Jim. Nice to hear your voice, Forster. I haven't seen you in seems like 100 years. You know, if Biden, in my opinion, wasn't so selfish, he would have made this announcement a long time ago and given the party a fair chance to come up with someone everybody could get behind. The party appeared to try to set everything up with the way they rearranged the primaries to guarantee that Joe Biden wouldn't get any competition. You know, he ran the campaign 4 years ago from the basement, and, you know, Kamala Harris and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and the whole gang have been covering for the guy, and he can't do the job. Hasn't been doing.
Well, he's yesterday's news now, and he did beat Donald Trump in the debate. Trump was unhinged, and remember, Biden had the line of the night: "Why don't you just shut up?" And both of these guys are old. Trump is too old to be president as well, Gary. You know that he's in woefully terrible physical condition, at least 100 pounds overweight. Why don't the Republicans switch horses, too?
Well, actually, the Republicans, and, you know, Trump wasn't my first pick, but he's the candidate. The Republicans went through their primaries, and he's the guy that's got the lead. And look, Jim, the 2/3 of the Democrats wanted Biden to step aside and withdraw. That's not coming from the Republicans.
I know, and he ultimately he did. And now Mike Johnson is saying that he should resign the office. Sometimes you better be careful what you ask for. I would imagine Kamala Harris would become the president.
And I think the country ought to get to see, what, 2 or 3 months of how she'd act as president before they have to pick a candidate in November. I agree with Mike, and I think that if Biden is not fit to run a campaign, it's certainly more difficult and more important running the country. And if he can't do one, then he probably ought not to be doing the other.
Okay. Well, 40 years ago, Gary Forster switched parties.
Right.
20 years ago, John Kennedy was running as a liberal Democrat to the left of Arthur Morrell, if you can believe that, for the U.S. Senate.
Right.
And
right.
He says, let me be frank, Kamala Harris is now the greatest threat to our nation's livelihood and families' pocketbooks. This is an email. She wants power, and now that old Joe is out of her way, she's got a one-way ticket to the White House. Well, you know, Kennedy also, we're all getting up there. He'll be in, maybe 73 years old in a few months, and some might say he's too long for the dance, but as we know, politicians, I remember Mark Shields once said they either leave by the ballot box or the pine box. Joe Biden wanted to stay, and he decided he couldn't because of an internal revolt led by 84-year-old Nancy Pelosi, and that's a point that a listener makes before we go to the phone lines, is that there are some people, you two included, who are in your 70s, who are full of vim and vigor. And Pelosi, who's 84 and still, I think, has the mental acuity she had when she was 44. But Biden had obviously slipped, and he had slipped a lot in the last 4 years. And you're probably right, Gary. There were reasons the Democratic Party covered for him. There's no way you can look at him moving and not realize there's some sort of problem that is not going to get any better. Foster Campbell, how did it get to this point?
Well, first of all, I'm glad he got out of the way, and but I don't like him appointing somebody to take his place, and that's what he's doing. I don't think that's good. I think we ought to have Obama and Pelosi. I think we ought to have competition, and let's see who the best guy or best man or best woman is. far as him getting out of office, I think that's crazy. He can do the job as president. He's done a good job as president. He pulled NATO together. Our stock market's gone through the roof. He's done a lot of good things. As far as him lasting till the race, I think it's fine. Next, and a lot of presidents have problems. You might remember, Gary, that Reagan had some problems in the latter part of his years. He had some problems. Yep. A lot of people said he had mental problems. I don't know. I'm not saying he did. I'm just saying a lot of people thought he was slipping. So
he was in decline, but he was also shot.
He was. He was. That took a lot of starch out of him, and he heroically came back from it, and he won two landslides. 44 states first time, 49 states second time. This one's going to be close. We'll talk about it after this. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana. Pleased to have you with us. An eventful weekend. Joe Biden, who was elected to the United States Senate when he was 29 years old. He, like Russell Long, had to wait until he was 30 before he took office. And during that period, he lost his first wife and a daughter, and both of his sons were severely injured in a car accident. Biden's a man of resilience. He survived a couple of brain aneurysms, the loss of his son, and of course the embarrassment and humiliation and tragedy of his other son. And he is a person who's been in office longer than even Foster Campbell. In 1972, and he was in the U.S. Senate until he became vice president. And he had a four-year hiatus because he did not run in 2016, when Hillary Clinton was the Democratic nominee. Now, he might very well have won that race, and if he had, he would be finishing his second term, but that's not the way it worked. Donald Trump was elected, and then Biden beat him, and now we had a case in which the two nominees were going to be 160 years old combined. Now you've got Kamala Harris, who is 19 years younger than Trump, who will bring it to him, and I suspect there will be a debate. I think Trump's people will probably caution him against doing it, but he's Donald Trump, and I suspect he'll accept, and they will take it to each other, and it's going to be a hot and heavy and heated campaign between those two in a close race, and it could divide the country even more than it is right now. And we're trying to encourage civility on our show, so that includes being kind to our guests, no matter what your political stripes are. And we've got two seasoned politicos who know the ropes and know Louisiana, Gary Forster and Foster Campbell. 877-217-5757. Mike in Villa Del Rey, we start with you, Mike. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Yeah, I would like to know your guest opinion. You have Kamala Harris might help with the independents and the women if she gets the nomination. And you have a candidate that owes about $500 million in lawsuits. He's a convicted criminal.
All right, what's the question?
Kamala Harris is a prosecutor. What do you think of that?
All right, well, she will probably take on that role in a debate. And of course, Donald Trump, he's already taken some personal shots at her. He's even talked about her. He's calling her Laughing Kamala. Trump just can't help himself, Gary. Here's a guy who, if he had finished his speech about an hour early last week, I think the American people would have said, way to go. But he just kept on going, and I know he's going to be taking it to Kamala Harris if she's the Democratic nominee.
Yeah, well, that's a curve that's been thrown that he's been preparing. And look, in my opinion, you know, Trump finally got to beat Biden. He scared him out of the presidential race. So it's not like, as most of us believe, the Republican leadership in Congress would have liked Joe Biden to stay in to the end, because everybody wanted to have a chance to beat him. And now they have to switch gears. And, you know, it's tough in politics to attack a woman. And if they have that debate, all eyes, instead of being on Joe Biden, I think will be on Donald Trump to see how civil he can be in a debate against a woman.
I don't think he can be. And that's something could happen in a close race, as some unforced error could sway the election. And debates are often where that happens. We saw Gerald Ford freeing Poland in 1976, which probably cost him the election. Foster Campbell, I know you would rather see somebody other than Kamala Harris, and I agree that there are probably people, for various reasons, who would be more electable, but she is the vice president, and everybody who voted for Joe Biden voted for her too, and I just don't see how it would be palatable to remove her at this point, nor should they. I think that she has earned this right, but she says, I want to earn it. So I don't know what that means. Do you think it'll be an open convention?
I hope it is. I hope it is. And I hope we come out with the best candidate. I'm certainly not voting for Trump for many reasons. I don't know how he will control himself against a woman. Gary made a good point. It doesn't look good to jump on women, but I don't know that he cares. I think he jumps on everyone he's around, makes fun of them, and that really troubles me. But that won't help him in this deal. She is a lady, and certainly ladies deserve respect. I don't know that he's capable of respecting anyone. He makes fun of everybody, so we'll just have to see. But whoever the convention, whoever we come out with, if it's Kamala Harris, I'm voting for her. There's some people I think that they ought to consider. One of them is the senator from Arizona, Kelly. He was an astronaut. He's a colonel in the Marine Corps. His wife was tragically shot while campaigning. I think he would be a good candidate. I think the lady that is the governor of Michigan would be a great candidate. I think that they ought to look at her. And what about the governor of Illinois? I think they ought to look at him. But if they come out with Ms. Harris, that's who we'll have. But I think there's other people that they deserve. They've been loyal Democrats and good leaders, been elected. The lady up in Governor Michigan been elected twice in Michigan. Was certainly a state that we have to have. So I think there ought to be some deep thinking about this. And like Ms. Harris, Vice President Harris said, she ready to compete. Well, let's see if she is.
877-217-5757 for Gary Forster and Foster Campbell. I've gotten several emails about, while if Biden should resign, certainly according to people who are listening, Trump maybe should he should consider, because he is, after all, a convicted felon. And here's one from Johanna saying the GOP calls for Biden to step down. Their calls are oblivious to the fact that Trump is a convicted felon, a perpetrator of sexual assault. Most importantly, he stated clearly that he will not respect the result of a free and fair election. So there we go. Please be brief in your remarks. We do have some folks lined up now to talk to Gary and Foster. Craig in Natchitoches, you're on. Good morning, Craig. Hi, Craig.
Yeah, good morning. I was going to just say, now that, you know, from the old Dragon Dirty Laundry Department, now that Joe Biden's out of the race, do you think the Republicans won't even bother to bring up Hunter Biden and his problems anymore?
Well, that issue has gone away, but we all have a past, and of course we're going to hear a lot about Kamala Harris, but I don't know that she's been vetted, so I don't think there's much there as far as making it a palatable campaign issue. But they're going to hit her, and it's fair game on immigration and inflation, and those, of course, are complicated issues as well. Tyrone in St. Gabriel, you're on with our guest. Hi, Tyrone.
My problem is that we have a constitutional crisis. If Biden is unfit to be a candidate, he's unfit to be the president of the United States. And if he continues as the president of the United States, then he withdrew.
All right. Well, he didn't say he was unfit to serve. He said he was he didn't say he was unfit. He just said he didn't want to run. Foster Campbell, there is a distinction there, I think.
Well, I think he's fit to serve. He served. I think he's done a good job as president. That's what I think, and I think he ought to serve out his term. The man is has slipped, and I think that he's doing the right thing, getting out of the way, and letting he is for Ms. Harris. But we're going to find somebody. If it's not her, we'll find somebody to run as a Democrat. And I think it'll be fair. I think he did the right thing. It's not easy for a politician to give up power. No one wants to do that. Like Jim said earlier, either you get beat or you die. Usually that's what happens. And but I think Biden is fine for what he did. And I think it's absurd to say that he ought to resign now and not serve out the rest of his term.
Okay, we do have to take a break. But once again, him resigning, I think, would help Harris. She would be President Kamala Harris. She would be 47. We'll talk about this in another segment to come. We look forward to hearing you as we head into the last half. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Gary Forster and Foster Campbell with us for another segment. Then it's Patrick Martin, who's busy with trying to get a new school superintendent in Baton Rouge. But right now, if you'd like to get under the wire with Senator Campbell, now Commissioner Campbell, and Representative and former Labor Secretary Gary Forster, 877-217-5757. A listener notes that Biden is so old that, unlike our guest and your host, he's not a baby boomer. He was born in 1942. He missed the baby boom. And so Donald Trump is at the front end, 1946. That's the first year, also the same year that Clinton and Bush were born. And Kamala Harris is at the back end, the last year, 1964. And it looks like, unless something changes, that she will be the nominee of the Democratic Party. But as we know, a lot can happen in a day. Imagine what will happen in the next few weeks. Again, 877-217-5757. Patricia in Magnolia Woods. Hi, Patricia. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. Vice President Harris will be the choice of the Democratic Convention, and I think the Republicans are a little nervous about that. But my question is, if President Biden did resign at this point, how would the vice president be chosen?
Well, she would become the president. She would immediately
be the president, but who would be the vice president?
Well, sometimes they go a few months without a vice president, but you're right. She probably would appoint whoever she chooses as a running mate to be the vice president of the United States. But we're a long way from there, and I don't think Biden is leaving, nor should he. But Gary, you think he should go like right now? You think he's stayed too long at the dance, and it's time for Joe to go back to Delaware and live out his final days?
Well, I think the media, Kamala Harris, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, they're all complicit. They've all been covering up Joe Biden's failing health. Call it whatever you want to call it. He's not been in the best shape, and it causes questions in everybody's mind as to who's really been calling the shots.
Well,
and honestly, if he really thinks that Kamala is the best person to run to be president, then he ought to give her a few months in the job, and she runs for re-election as the incumbent. I think that puts her in a stronger position, and it shows the country what she'd be able to do as the commander-in-chief. I think she's done a terrible job as vice president because everything he put her in charge of, she either didn't do or failed to do. So put her in the limelight. Don't hide her as they hid Biden during the last campaign 4 years ago. Let her get front and center if she wants to be president.
Okay, well, she,
and show us what she can do.
She has been vice president for 3.5 years. She was attorney general of the state of California, DA in San Francisco, U.S. senator from California. 1 out of 8 Americans lives in California. I don't think she's been hiding anywhere. But Foster Campbell, I don't get this about Biden not being there. He knows it's Monday. He's just moving slow and he's talking slow. He's not out of it. He's just slow. And in this game, you got to pick up the pace.
Well, you know, you mentioned Mike Johnson with all the philosophy he has. Now, he lives in the same parish I do. He's a nice fellow. But he needs to answer one question. Why don't you ask Mr. Johnson who won the election? Now, come on, you got a guy that will not admit that Biden won the election, wrote all the crazy stuff about how this was a joke and this and that and the other big lie. He's right in the middle of it. Now he's giving speeches on what's right and wrong. Mr. Johnson, I live in the same area you do. I got a question. Why don't you answer this, Mr. Johnson? Who won the election? Are you still going to be content with the big lie that y'all came up with? You wrote it, so now you own it. Do you still say there was something wrong after all the courts looked at it? Of course you will say it. Just do this, Mr. Johnson. You just admit today that Biden won the election. You won't do it. So quit giving all this philosophy about Biden ought to drop out, he ought to do this, he ought to do that. Simple question, Mr. Johnson. Did Mr. Johnson, will you say that Donald Trump lost? And if you don't, quit giving all the philosophy out. You won't admit the flat truth. You come up with a big lie.
Well, Trump runs the party. He's the nominee for the third time. And if he loses, I would say if he's capable, he'll be the nominee in 2028. He'll go 4-for-4 like FDR. But obviously Johnson wants to keep his post, and it's in his interest to keep Donald Trump on his side. Zach in South Baton Rouge. Zach, good morning. You're on with Foster and Gary. Hi, Zach.
Good morning. Gary, I'd like to ask you a question. You said that who's covering up for Biden and his lack of, I guess, of running the office. Who's covering up for Trump? You don't mention anything about Trump and all of his crimes that he's committed. You talk about Biden and Harris, but you don't mention anything about Trump.
All right. Is that fair? Is that a good analogy, Gary, or is Zach off base?
Well, I think you started off talking about how much Trump ad-libbed on his speech. I think he went over his prepared remarks by well over an hour. The guy can talk. The guy can ad-lib. He talks to the media. He answers questions. And Biden hides. I mean,
all right, well, that's fair.
I don't
fair.
See
that's
how
fair.
There's any comparison.
But Trump is a convicted felon, and that
because Biden and the whole party has weaponized all of their Democrat judges because they didn't think that Joe Biden could beat Donald Trump. So the best way, like they do in other countries around the world, to take out an opponent is to do it legally. And, you know, the whole legal stuff has been, you know, created.
Right. Well, he was convicted. Trump was in a state court in New York.
Democrat judge.
Right, but we have Hunter Biden got convicted. Bob Menendez, close ally of Biden, a Democratic senator from New Jersey, got convicted. I don't see there's any validity to him weaponizing the Justice Department. I know it sounds good, but Foster Campbell, is that reality?
Let me just say this. I like Gary Foster. He and I served together in the legislature. We used to get along, not like it is today. I respected him. My dear friend was John Hankel. That was his dear friend.
Yep.
One of my best friends. We didn't fight like this. This is the craziest thing that's going on now. Trump has weaponized, if you want to use that word, the whole country. He split us right down the middle where people can't even have a conversation without screaming at each other. So, look, Trump got convicted. That's a fact, okay? Senator Menendez just got convicted. That's a fact. One was a Republican, one was a Democrat. That's the system that we have to go by. They can't show partiality. I don't believe they weaponized anything on Trump. If anything's hurt Trump, it's his big mouth. He cannot shut up. And he talks about everybody. He has nothing good to say about anybody. He spews hate. Everything he says, he spews hate. He doesn't even like the people in his own party. He makes fun of them, little Marco and this, that, and the other. So it'll be nice to have a campaign, finally, where somebody's civil and they could talk about issues.
All right.
You know, I liked John McCain.
Well, he was a patriot, and he was ridiculed by Donald Trump. But yesterday, in a column by Carlos Lozada in the New York Times, Lozada quotes Trump from Art of the Deal, Trump's book, 1987, says that attorneys are too quick to settle disputes involving lawsuits. He says, "I'd rather fight than fold. Fold once," he argues, "and soon you'll be known for it." Well, he paid $130,000 to Stormy Daniels to be quiet about their relationship. That's what I would call folding. If not, the book should have been Art of the Steal rather than Art of the Deal. Rebel in Sherwood. Rebel, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Jim, and thank you to your guests. I just think it's an obvious fact that the Joe Biden presidency was legislatively one of the best of our lifetime. So he can do the job and have done a good job. It does appear that we may now have a career prosecutor versus the career criminal, which I think is kind of amazing at this point. But my question is to both of the gentlemen, and why is there such an asymmetry of expectations between what Republicans expect, the incredibly low bar, a non-existent bar, for their politicians, and the obvious higher bar that Democrats expect?
All right. Is that fair, or is this just about winning elections, Gary? Biden would have been forced. I don't think he would have been forced out if he had been 5 points ahead, but the polls ultimately did him in. What do you think, Gary?
Well, I that's what I led off with. I mean, it's not even close, and I'm talking about among Democrats. You know, scrap the Republicans. But the dissatisfaction among Democrats cuts across age, cuts across race. They just think that Biden needed to step aside. This is not Republicans. I mean, 9 out of 10 Republicans think he ought to step aside. But 75% of the Democrats under 45 wanted Biden to drop out. So he dropped out not because of health. He dropped out because his party no longer supported him. And now they have to, in a very short period of time, come together without getting the whole.
All right, we do have to roll. But Gary and Foster, both very good at what you do, and we'll be calling on both of you soon. Thank you. And we're back with Patrick Martin. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. We're visiting with Patrick Martin, school board member, East Baton Rouge Parish since January of 23, and he's become quite a mover and shaker on the board, and he's worked at LSU for a long time as well. His current post for the last 8 years, assistant vice president for real estate at Tigertown, but the wheels are churning. It's even more fraught with drama than the presidential sweepstakes as to who will be the next superintendent for East Baton Rouge Parish Schools. And the lone finalist pulled out, Andrea Zayas, and now the superintendent of education is entering the fray. Cade Brumley will meet with Patrick and other board members if they choose to attend, and I hope all of them will be present. But Patrick, what is going on right now?
Well, you know, people are passionate about their kids, and that's making itself manifest all over the place in many different directions. You know, I had we've been having conversations between myself and President Powell Lewis, and I'm confident that we're going to work something out this week.
So we'll have a new superintendent.
I believe we'll have a new superintendent by the end of the week. Yes, sir.
Well, we have an interim superintendent whose name is still out there. Is that a possibility?
I think 5 members of the board have made it very clear that they are not going to vote for our Adam interim Smith. Superintendent as permanent.
And you're one of them?
I am one of them, yes, sir.
Is there any compelling reason?
Myself and 3 of my colleagues put out a letter last week that said, you know, we have tremendous respect for Mr. Smith. He's certainly devoted himself fully to the education of our kids for the past 27, 28 years. We respect that. We think he's added great value there, but we don't believe he has the qualities necessary to really take our district to the next level, to bring us the real and rapid improvement that we really need for the benefit of our kids.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. You've been spending a lot of time deliberating this. It went into past midnight last week, didn't it?
Till almost 2 o'clock in the morning. Jim, I do want to clarify one thing. The entire board is not actually invited to the meeting with the superintendent and the mayor. We'll be also participating in the meeting this afternoon. That would violate the open meetings law. There'll be four of us who will be attending. President Powell
by
Lewis
design.
Himself.
Oh, okay, I got you. I got you. Although you wouldn't be voting on anything, I don't know why. I don't know why you couldn't do it. I think you probably could, but you don't want to. You don't want to be accused of breaking the law while you're trying. I got you. I got you. But obviously, if Smith's not going to be in, and all the finalists have said no mas, then where are we? Who's the person?
We'll see how that turns out this week. I anticipate some announcement later today of a couple of special meetings for Tuesday and Wednesday afternoons that'll be coming from President Carla Powell Lewis.
So have there been people to express interest that you're aware of?
Oh, lots of people have expressed interest, sure.
Is there anyone who's expressed interest that you personally, Patrick Martin, would be comfortable with?
Oh, I think there's any number of people I'd be comfortable with. We had a bunch of quality applicants in the pool that we received. There are other leaders in our community who I think could potentially be strong superintendents, and we'll just have to see what the next couple of days bring.
What qualities are necessary?
One of the key things is that this is a big job. We have a $650 million a year budget. We have 5,000, 6,000 employees. We have 35,000 or so students in our traditional public schools and another 10,000 roughly in our charter schools. And there's just a lot of machinery with a great deal of inertia to run. So I think we need someone with kind of strong CEO skills. We also need someone that truly understands education and can work with, not just alone, but with others to really have a vision and like a present to the board like a 5-year action plan for how we're going to really start moving our district up from the bottom where it is.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. Here's one from James who says he's in Mid-City saying that this is not reflected well on the school board, and I'm sure you're aware of some of the criticism you're getting. Was compromise in any way possible? Was there ever a point where you felt like you had reached a consensus, or has it always been the case in which nobody could get 5 votes?
I think up till this point, I was certainly hopeful that one of our very qualified finalists would get 5 votes. We got 4 votes, of course, for one of the finalists. So I certainly hoped that was the case. But everybody, like I said, feels very passionate about their kids, and we had just a pretty strong divide on the board. So I think we had to kind of go through a little bit of what we've been through, for all of us to realize, look, this is the way it is. And we've got to work together to find a path forward.
All right. A listener asked, what were your thoughts, strengths or weaknesses about, Kevin George and Andre Esaias?
Kevin George had experience as a superintendent. He also had experience working in a large school district. He had experience with charters. He had well-rounded experience all the way around. Has been a great leader at the lab school at LSU. Andre Esaias had experience at some of the biggest school systems in the country, and had a lot to offer in that regard. They both interviewed very well. They both talked about things that were important to our district and had very positive plans. So I think both of them had been very good candidates.
You would have been satisfied with either of them?
Yes.
you couldn't get five votes.
I couldn't get five votes for either one of them, no, sir.
Now, is it the case in which four are just solidly hanging in there, hoping, as you say, or you believe, beyond hope, that Adam Smith's going to be chosen? Is that what's going on right now?
No, I think we're having very productive discussions on the need to find a way to come together, and I think we'll see that in some votes this week.
And another listener says this is making Cito Narcisse look good. Do you regret that he's gone?
No,
even with all of this.
No, I respect Dr. Narcisse. He did do some positive things for the district. He also had some negatives, which is one of the reasons I was one of the five votes to not renew his contract last December.
Well, if you come to a consensus on somebody, will they get a similar package to what Narcisse had?
Oh, sure. The what we were paying Dr. Narcisse was in the ballpark of what superintendents in large school districts in Louisiana are being paid. I don't know exactly what numbers we'll wind up with. It might be a little little higher than what Dr. Narcisse was getting, simply because the markets shifted with what Jefferson and Caddo and other districts are paying their superintendents. So we'll see what the details are, but it's going to be in that same ballpark.
Now, Clara in South Downs asks, is it possible that one of those who withdrew will get back in? Is that a possibility?
I don't believe that either of the two finalists that previously withdrew are interested in returning.
So they're a no-go. You believe Smith's a no-go, so we've got to find somebody. And you say people have contacted you. So how would that process work with somebody coming out of the hustings and appearing that we don't know, at least we probably know about them, but we didn't know they were on the brink of being the superintendent.
Like I said, follow later today. I anticipate an announcement of a couple of special meetings from our president, Carla Powell Lewis. And I think that'll lay out the process that we expect to see over the next few days.
And you think it can be done within a week?
Yes.
So there's obviously some conversation, as I say. I have no problem with people like the LSU board conversing, but quite often, as we know with the LSU board, there are votes taken before the real vote. I don't think that's happening here, but I would suspect you are talking with other board members because you sound confident, and I don't think you'd be confident if you didn't know something, Patrick.
Well, first of all, I'm confident that my bosses at the LSU board don't violate the open meetings law and don't actually take votes behind
the
scenes.
Well, you work for them. Scott Woodward, they hired him at Jubin's, so they already had come to a consensus. That was not legal, and you know it, and I know it, but keep going, please.
I'm not talking about LSU today. It is certainly appropriate for individual board members to discuss current events. It's certainly appropriate for the board president and vice president to speak to each other. And I think each individual board member can speak to other board members. And as long as you don't have kind of a concerted effort to poll members behind the scenes, one person, two people coordinated calls to say, hey, where are you on this or what have you, then it's perfectly appropriate for us to have conversations outside of the context of the meetings.
Do you like this job?
Most days, yeah. This hadn't been my favorite couple of weeks, but it's an important job. And I've been learning a lot. I've met a lot of really fascinating people. I met recently Dr. Freya Rivers, who was one of the first African American students to attend Baton Rouge High. She was, as I understand it, the first African American woman to graduate from LSU. And she and I have very different politics, very different perspectives. But she's a very interesting person, and I've gotten a chance to meet people like her, and I'm really enjoying that a great deal.
Well, good luck to you. We look forward to an update after the decision is made, which Patrick Martin says will be this week.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. Appreciate you coming in. I know it's a busy day, and you've had a few long nights, but keep going. And we're back tomorrow, same time, same place. Until then, thanks for listening. Stay safe and stay tuned.